Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how we doing this week? The traveling man.
Oh, doing great, Jimmy. I am. I've been out and about a little bit. About to get out and about a little bit more, but I've been busy. So thank you for accommodating me and changing our regular recording time to make sure we as a team can supply the best content for our Penn State football fans.
Andy, anything for you. You know that, my friend. Absolutely anything for you. You know, Andy, a week ago we talked about some of what we thought were the most critical position groups. We talked about each of us had our what we had said the week before was the best position group. Right. You had said offensive line. I had said running back. Although I don't think we argue too much with each other on that on those choices.
No, it was a 1A, 1B. I still think I'm right. I still think the offensive line is the strongest. I think the best position is running back. There's a concession for you.
That is probably a very good way to put it. Because I have to concede, you know, at running back, you are essentially filling one position. And my argument was Penn State has it double filled, okay? You an offensive line, much more difficult to have a great offensive line. You're filling five positions, a lot of depth questions. So we kind of went into those. We both had the position group that we had the most questions about, wide receiver.
Absolutely.
And we discussed those last week. We went in depth in them. And the interesting thing, Andy, is we were just talking offense the whole time. I thought it would be good. Let's go to the other side of the ball. Let's talk about the defense. But before we get into the position groups, Andy, and this is definitely also the case on offense, but on defense, a defensive team is not just the sum of its parts, okay? It's also about how they work together as a team. That has a lot to do with the coordinator. New coordinator again. For Penn State, this is the third defensive coordinator in 3 years.
Yep.
And this isn't because that side of the ball has struggled. It's more because they've done very well when those coordinators have been in demand. Manny Diaz got a head job. Tom Allen got the opportunity to go coach at Clemson, and they're very happy to have him. And then Penn State now brings in Jim Knowles. Let's talk about that transition first real quick. Your take on the fact that it's Jim Knowles coming in, can you look at this as, hey, it's an upgrade? Or do you also look at it like, oh boy, here's another change at the coordinator position that these players have to adapt to?
I see it as an upgrade over Tom Allen. Tom Allen did a good job, great job. I don't think he was the right fit. I don't think him and James sort of were in sync, even though I like the way James went through the process and hired him because it surprised him. I just don't think it worked out for the two of them on a couple fronts. There was a reason Tom Allen started the year on the field and very shortly thereafter was in the press box calling the defense. That's not just a arbitrary decision. That's for a reason. Jim is an upgrade. I mean, let's face it, for all beginning to end, top to bottom, Ohio State's national championship season, The single reason at the top of it was, there's many of them, but they had the best defense in the country. And they showed up on the biggest stages at the best times, right? They basically won the Penn State game. They gave that offense, when it was struggling, a chance to win against Michigan. They played lockdown during the college football playoffs. All they had to do was make a couple stops in the Oregon game, and the game was over because the offense was flying. But beginning to end, top to bottom, I thought Ohio State was the best defense in the country, the most impactful defense in the country, was able to win a football game on its own accord. And now we got that guy. Penn State got that guy to come and coach the Nittany Lions defense. Over Tom Allen, that's an upgrade. Would Jim Knowles be an upgrade over Manny Diaz? No. That's a lateral. That's a tough one for me. I want to watch closely. I want to watch Jim coordinate a defense up close because I got to watch Manny coordinate a defense up close, and I loved it. I knew it would. I think Jim Knowles is one of, if not the best in his job in the country. I know he's got some salt and pepper on him. He's been around the block. Don't care. Let's see what he does with this defense. It is very exciting.
The fact that you said he's not an upgrade over Manny Diaz, I thought that was Andy humoring this Jim. Okay.
Yeah, no.
You know, I'm the Manny Diaz fan. I'm in agreement with you. I do think it is an upgrade over Tom Allen. And although not relevant to our discussion today, I think what is most important about that hire was he didn't come cheap. This was Penn State extending themselves, paying Jim Knowles more than any coordinator in the country. Andy, that's not the Penn State style. I said, okay, what program do you picture having the highest paid coordinator on their staff? Penn State wouldn't be my first pick, top five, top 10. Maybe not even top 15 choice as being a team that would do that. That tells us, that sends another message about how all in this team is. All right, Andy, let's get to what we were intent on talking about, was getting into the specific positions groups.
Yep.
And talking about some of the talent. Andy, let's start on the defensive line. I'm going to start first with the tackles, but first in general, I find it fascinating, and we'll be talking about other position groups in a similar way. It's fascinating to me in separating the defensive ends and the defensive tackles, how similar the conversation is. Both the positions, you start with a star. You start at defensive tackle with Zane Durant. You start at defensive end with Denai Dennis-Senton, both stars. You have two pretty good second starters at each of those positions. Then you talk about the depth, but it's fascinating to me, like I said, a star at each of the positions. Let's start at tackle, and the conversation has to start with Zane Durant.
Yeah, there's stars all over this team, all over this defense at every level. But let's start here. He's the star. He is a top five at his position in the country, and he's an NFL prospect. I know he's not 6'5", 325, Jimmy, like you've always talked about them having that hammer inside guy, but the game has evolved and I think he is that guy. It's all about the next level. This is a position of concern for me. It is a very high concern. I see the next first line reps coming down to Xavier Gilliam / Alonzo Ford Jr. I'm keen on Ford. I've seen his work in some flashes. It's just, can he stay healthy? I see him being like, quote unquote, the second starter. And trust me, Xavier Gilliam will play and contribute. He's a redshirt freshman. That means he's a second year player. But they see in him exactly what they are looking for. I think he'll be doing a little bit more flying and learning at the same time this year. But he has enormous talent and upside. I think those are your top three. But you need more than three in your rotation, right? So there are several guys to watch for in the first three games. This is where the first three game schedule helps this position so much because they get to look at so many different guys. You know, the transfer, Owen Waffle, Ty Blanding, Liam Andrews, Caleb Artis, DeAndre Cook. You know, all of those guys will be looking to be in the Penn State four or five deep rotation because that's what they're going to want to run on defense at the defensive tackle position. And the last thing I'll say about this position, don't forget who they work against on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. They work against Penn State's offensive line on their craft. So that's next level that they get to practice against, and this group will benefit from it as well as the, you know, the first three games will be a huge benefit. They have a superstar. They have a bona fide hammer. They've got a lot to figure out and fill out around them, but they don't lack options. So it's a position of concern, but it's not a position of weakness.
That's well put. I think.
Thank you.
More than any position, probably defensive tackle is where that rotation comes into play. And
huge.
And they've been doing that consistently over the years.
Yep.
Four guys, maybe five guys.
Yep. Agree.
And you know, there was a very deep group a year ago, of which several have moved on. Of course, that's the nature of college football. And what Zane Durant coming back, Andy, you know, it's easy to talk about Drew Aller and Catron Allen and Nick Singleton and Deni Dennis Sutton and the other guys that came back. But his value to this specific position group, this was such a huge development for this Penn State team that Zane Durant chose to come back, Andy.
Yeah, he provided them the anchor. Look, they were all the same last year, going into last year. All of the starting group that was all seasoned, veteran, had been around the block, they were all kind of at the same level. He's the one that sort of went to the next level, became elite, right? And he did that on his own accord, through working at his craft, becoming better. And he became that player. And it was only sort of a one-year thing. I think to increase his draft stock, he made the right move to see if he can validate that next-level elite player. And there's nothing that says he won't, because he just became good on so many fronts. He separated himself from the pack, and now he wants to make himself even better.
Yeah, he's... It just meant so much. And you mentioned earlier how I've always talked about that big hammer at defensive tackle, that guy you build around. And it's not so much that it turns out that it's usually that huge monster guy, 6'4", 330.
I told you, 6'5", 325.
That is so hard to get around. But Zane Durant at 6'1", is providing that kind of a talent. So it was huge. What the point you make about the depth, though, that's where the question mark is here. It'll be fascinating to say which of these guys steps up. Will it be, you know, Caleb Artis? Will it be Liam Andrews, Xavier Gilliam, Owen Wafel, the transfer from Michigan? I don't have much doubt, though, that somebody will step up, Andy.
They'll find a rotation.
Yes, they definitely will. All right, that's it for quarter number one. When we come back, we'll shift from defensive tackle to defensive end. And defensive end, Andy, we'll do that right after this.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The Collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, we are looking at the defensive positional groups today. We have we've started with defensive tackle. We're going to work our way out to defensive end. Before we get there, I want to make one last note about Zane Durant, okay, who we talk about, who's that stud in the middle among the defensive tackles. And we're in the offseason, so a lot of recruiting conversation. Penn State's recruiting this class of 26. not the highest ranked class in the world. In fact, they're not ranked even in the top 10 in that recruiting ranking. But you always say it's not about getting the best guys. It's about getting the right guys.
Correct.
I just want to quickly use Zane Durant as exhibit A for that. Did you know he was a three-star recruit?
I did, and I do.
Did you also – I want to ask you another real quick question on Zane Durant. Here it is. Just want to make sure I have it. Among tackles when he came out, do you know where he was ranked?
Outside the top 100.
No, not overall, just among tackles alone.
Oh, outside the top 50.
Exactly, number 50.
Yeah, I would say right on the edge, yeah.
Within the state of Florida, he was ranked 41st. There overall. Were 40 players in Florida. That's getting the right guy, Andy. All right.
Yep, exactly.
Let's talk defensive end. Andy, it's almost the exact same conversation.
It is.
You start with a stud, Deni Dennis Sutton coming back. The next guy, probably the second starter, Zariah Fisher. Health issues, just like Alonzo Ford that we were talking about. We also have it for depth. We have some promising youngsters. We have a
transfer
potential with the transfer portal, Anai White.
I think those two, Fisher and White, are your other two guys to start. I think any depth comes from any depth, younger guys, goes behind Deni Dennis Sutton and those two. If they're healthy, their health is a huge question mark. But I think they both have shown them in their craft and what they do and what the time where they have been on the field. There's a crap load. Sorry to use that word. There's a ton of upside in either one of them. Healthy. But they've been so unhealthy that it has hindered their development and progress. But if healthy, man, there's a lot of potential in those two guys.
And, you know, if we look, Andy, at past as prelude, there's precedent set for bringing in a transfer portal guy at defensive end.
They might have done it a couple, two, three times, right?
Chop Robinson, Arnold Lee McKeedy.
Both NFL players, by the way.
Yeah. Anai White, so highly regarded out of the Philadelphia area, went to Texas A&M. I'm really, really curious to see him, yep. Andy. But as we said, it starts with
DDS.
Yeah. It starts there.
Monster.
On the other side, could Zariah Fisher stay healthy? And then, you know, we mentioned Anai White. Is Jalen Harvey ready to take the next step? I'm going to mention a guy to you, Andy, and I'm just bringing him up because the name has been brought up to me multiple times, okay? And that's Yvonne Camaju, true freshman.
Yeah, now, I know you love your green lights. You love your green light candy.
Andy, I don't know. They may not even use up his red shirt.
Correct.
But when I start to hear from multiple sources, not that I asked about the specific guy, because I didn't. It's having somebody else say to me, hey, look out for this guy. And that's, and you know, I could even mention it, Mike Villagrana, who we have on the show, who's very much inside the program. He loves that kid.
Cooper Cousins was that kid, right? Like you kept here. Wait till you see this Cooper Cousins kid. Wait till you see Cooper Cousins. You got a good dose of it last year. I think you're going to get it. Maybe you get a dose of it this year. But if he's playing on a consistent basis, they might have a little bit of an injury issue at that position.
It very well could be, but yeah. It's always great to hear that a true freshman is standing out, has that look, okay? And Chaz Coleman is another one. Those are two names that the difference is with Cooper Cousins is he was very highly regarded. And I think everybody knew those names. Not sure too many people know these names, but be sure to look out for them. Andy, let me ask you just this about Deni Dennis Sutton. He's fantastic. Got some just mad capabilities. How much of his performance a year ago was dependent on Abdul Carter being on the other side of the line?
Maybe 20%. Okay. That, I mean, and the reason I say, yeah, did he help DDS with having Abdul Carter on the other side? I don't care who you are. If you have Abdul Carter on the other side, you got 20% help. Don't forget, deny Dennis Sutton in his own right, before they even moved Abdul Carter to the defensive end, was already showing himself to be a home wrecker, right? Like, he was already a wrecking ball. The addition of, he didn't need that help to get over the line. He's not, he doesn't need to cover on the other side to be a monster. He can do it on his own. He's a hammer, Jimmy.
I agree with you, Andy. And with a lot of these players, you look for, I look for that special play that he, a guy makes a play that you say, wow, can't see somebody else or not many other guys making it. When Denai Dennison in the playoff game dropped back into coverage from his defensive end position and made that great interception.
Yep.
That was against Notre Dame, right? Just, it was a crazy play. How many defensive ends in the collegiate game make that play?
Maybe not his partner many, on Andy. The other side. Maybe his partner on his,
maybe yeah. his partner on the other side. Not a whole lot more would be able to do that, Andy. So yeah. I'm with you. I think he'll be pretty special. All right, let's shift now, Andy, from defensive line. Let's get to linebacker. This is such an unusual position.
Unusual is a good word.
The nature of the position itself, okay? Yep. We know what defensive backs mostly do. We know what defensive linemen mostly do, okay? Linebackers, they do both, okay?
It's evolving.
And is it three linebackers, two? You know, it's going to be a 4-2-5 is our understanding. So, but I think with this setup, Penn State's defense, even if it's a 4-2-5, I kind of look at three guys as starters among this group. So I'm talking Dom DeLuca, Tony Rojas, and the incoming transfer, Amari Campbell. I look as the first group, Andy.
I look at it differently. I think they're a 4-2-5 defense. They're a little light in the cupboard, right? Depth-wise. Maybe there's some there. Maybe they find it. They lost a key transfer to USC and a young player. To me, this is about Dom and Tony. They are the Penn State linebackers. They are the focus in my book. They will be the focus of opposing defenses. I think they get 80% plus of the snaps in the regular course of a game. I see linebacker as a potential strength. But going into camp, they have a couple vets who know the ropes and then a lot of questions. So as you look at it now, I think they're a holding serve position, right? I have my favorite player on Penn State's roster, top to bottom, 105. What's the number now? I forget. See, I'm old. What's the number you can have? 105, right? That's the roster number.
Yep.
1-105. One on my list is Dom DeLuca. He's my absolute favorite player on Penn State. Forget the fact that he was a walk-on and then earned a scholarship. That's earned your respect enough. He has crafted himself into an impact player with a limited toolkit. And he is, and by impact player, that means you're contributing at the next level. He does everything better than his tools that he has in his toolkit says he should. That, to me, is more, earns my respect and admiration more than any other player. The key player for the at this position is Tony Rojas, because Tony Rojas has every next level tool in his toolkit that you need, right? He's going to be a bigger version of Tony Rojas this year. I think he's going to be a little bit bigger and stronger version of him. He flashes like few others. In other words, his flashes, if you pay attention, when you see them, you're like, good gracious. But they are just simply flashes. His weakness, and it's an overt weakness, and it's a continued constant weakness over the course, is play-to-play consistency. individual consistency, not just being a flash player, being an impact player, 75% of your snaps, getting your gap retention right, getting your reads right, being in the right spot at the right time. That is Dom DeLuca in a nutshell. He covers Tony a little bit. Tony needs to be better this year, and he's the key. If he becomes a more consistent linebacker with the flash that already exists, and it exists at a pretty high level, then that linebacker position with these two in a 4-2-5 set becomes an asset. It's not a liability as it sits now or in any way, shape, or form do I see linebacker as a deficit for this defense. But I see it as the biggest upside position potentially for Penn State are those two linebackers. I really see it that way, but it's really about Tony. It's really about Tony Rojas.
I agree with your assessment. I think Tony Rojas, the mistakes he makes, though, Andy, they're fixable. It was like watching Abdul Carter early last season making his mistakes. Once he was able to put it together, it just incredible.
I'm sorry, I disagree. I hate to be – I think his mistakes were correctable over the course of the game. Why was I seeing them against Notre Dame? Come on.
They're the type of issues
– They are. Well,
okay, we'll disagree
they're
on that.
Coachable, but
I'll
I don't
give you the one other disagreement I have with you. I do not – any walk-on is often accused of the general rule, limited toolbox, else he wouldn't have been a walk-on. I'm not sure that Dom DeLuca isn't more athletic than I think a lot of people give him credit for, Andy.
Agreed.
And now it's just a question of, you know, how they fill in the rest of that rotation. Hopefully some of the guys, a young guy, step up. Andy, that's going to be it for quarter two. Guess what? Ask Andy on its way next.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Rebel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Rebel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to RebelXP.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. It's quarter three, Andy. You know what that means. It's time to Ask Andy.
Off-season Ask Andy, my favorite.
We are going to ask your questions. If you want to send a question to Andy, just download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button, and away you go. First two questions, Andy, okay? The first one's going to come from Matt in Massachusetts. The second one is going to come from Tim in Port Matilda, okay? I'm holding up these questions for you, okay? This is Matt's question. That's it. Okay.
Right.
One line, Andy. Here is Tim's question. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
You need and to it get, goes over into the next page.
You need to get Tim on our when we do the viewers joining us show. So he can ask his long questions and I cut him off and say, wait, you already asked me two. Let me answer them. All right.
Tim will ask the question and it'll fill up the entire segment just for him to ask his question. Let's go with Matt from Massachusetts, who's very succinct with his question. Here we go. Jim and Andy, James Franklin steps into the elevator with you. What do you ask him? Can be anything.
Oh, man. Here's my question. in 5 years, and you're still the Penn State in charge and the CEO and head coach of the Penn State football program, which do you see as more important, the transfer portal or recruiting?
I'll answer for you, Andy.
Well, you're going to say recruiting.
Yes, I am.
I'm saying, and I think that's a tough question because I think it's slowly evolving to becoming a little bit more of a level playing field, just a little bit. And the transfer portal, well, recruiting is about numbers. That would be my question. That's the one I came up with. That is a very good question, Matt, from Massachusetts, because I'm sitting here going like, what would I ask him? And I had like four things rambling around in my head. And I landed on that one. In 5 years, which do you see? Do you see it as a level playing field, or do you still think recruiting is where you have to make the most hay to be successful? Not today, 5 years from now.
Okay, you want to know my question?
Sure.
That's the right answer, because whether you said yes or no, Andy, you were going to get it anyway. I would ask James Franklin, what is still left to do to make this program elite?
Yeah, you would need an hour, not an elevator ride. But I think we could answer some of those. But yeah, not that. It's not a bad question.
All right.
Here we go. Tim in Port Matilda. And thank all you right. for joining us for quarter three. We're still reading Tim's question, right?
Here we go. Here's from Tim. Long okay. time, no question. I feel like I've let you down.
No.
Anyway, I'm not yes. going to worry about punctuation or grammar in this. True. Because this is going to be a long one. I know Andy loves this. I believe that the national media and even Penn State fans are sleeping on Penn State's schedule. Ohio State and Oregon, okay, those are the toughest games. But there are five other games that I could point to that are potential slip-ups. I'll lay it out. Villanova. Just kidding. Just
yeah, I'll be like, child, please.
All right, here are his games to worry about. UCLA, cross-country trip. Nico is the quarterback. He could take another step, and the travel has to be considered. Iowa, tricky road environment. They have a quarterback in Gronowski they feel could be good. House of horrors. Indiana, get them at home, but they still have a pretty good roster, and maybe Cignetti follows up his first season with an encore. Michigan State, Aiden Childs is another quarterback that kind of went through the fire last year, but they have a talented head coach, and I believe the quarterback could take another step, and it's on the road. Nebraska, Dylan Raiola was pretty much the top-ranked quarterback out of high school. We get the Cornhuskers at home, but if he continues to develop, this could be another trap type of game. The schedule looks easy on its face, but there are potential potholes throughout it. Andy, your thoughts?
So, Tim in Port Matilda liked it. Five games, five teams. You're focusing on the potential of a quarterback being able to keep pace and score with Penn State's offense, right? I counter Tim in Port Matilda with a defense that features Zane Durant, Denai Dennis Sutton, Tony Rojas, AJ Harris, Zaki Wheatley. That's a player at every level and sort of across the board. Those are monsters. Those are next level players. That's a defense that has star power. You are going to those quarterbacks, while there is potential for them to be better games, I will say Penn State can counter with more than those offenses can bring to the table as I look at it right now. The Iowa one, I'm like, oh my gosh, show me something where Iowa's offense is not a train wreck, and then maybe we can talk about that one. The other ones aren't bad. UCLA's, and here's my last point. 1 through 30, roster depth. Penn State has it. They're going to own the advantage in those five games without a doubt. And can they keep up with Penn State's offense? That's sort of the thing. Everyone, you're going to focus on Penn State defense, and that's where I went first. But, hello, can they keep up? Can they keep up? Because this Penn State offense is going to have firepower, and we know it. It's going to be it's going to be able to dictate tempo, set its own pace, set the tone and tenor for the game on its terms. Can you match it and keep up? There, that's what I'll counter with, Jimmy.
I'm in agreement with you, Andy, because
what?
Yeah, I know. Crazy thought there, agreeing with you. But I think there's a difference to this Penn State game. Tim's logic, I think, is correct.
It's sound. It is.
We saw a year ago this cross-country travel thing. It's real. It does affect these teams, okay? So that going to UCLA, Iowa can be a house of horrors. We know when Iowa's at home. So there's that. I also agree with the idea, you know, Nebraska, they have the potential at the quarterback. And so does Michigan State. You know, I hear that. Indiana had the magic from a year ago. I think the difference this year is, Andy, and I'm going to go back to the last question where I talked about, you know, asking James Franklin, great to elite. This Penn State team has elite talent, Andy.
They do.
They were really good for many years, but they would go in, you know, to these kind of games, and I'd say potential trap games. This year, I just feel like the talent is so overwhelming. And you add to that the coordinators on each side of the ball with Jim Knowles and Andy Kotelnicki. I think Penn State has the advantage there pretty much against anybody, Andy.
I will say this, too, for Tim. Penn State's defense and the Penn State program week to week will face better quarterback play and have to provide more answers on both sides of the ball, both from their offense, remaining explosives, and from their defense. They will face better quarterback play on a weekly basis than they did a year ago. That is without a doubt.
I'll also throw out one more thing, Andy. The dominance of this Penn State offensive line.
I said tone and tenor. I didn't say offensive line. That was the tone and tenor and tempo will be set, and it will be set by them.
I think that group, you know, you could just hand these games over to the offensive line if necessary, and they will carry you. All right, let's go to Jesse in Millersburg, who says, why are the Big Ten and the Southeast Conference having so much trouble working out a format for the playoffs? I get the 9-8 conference games. Couldn't they just agree that you have to play 9 Power 4 conference games?
Yeah, no. Jesse in Millersburg, Wood and Nickel, go there. Great place. That's in Millersburg, by the way. I will say that the reason they can't agree is because they are the two power conferences. They are in charge of, you know, sort of they're the alpha dogs in college football right now. There are those two, and then there's a gap, and then there's sort of everybody else. But as the two power dogs, and because the conferences are running college football, there is not a president or oversight type thing, overarching. They are going to have their own self-interest, and the way they think and want it and how it should be is going to be self-serving to them and them only. So inherently, they're both going to always sort of naturally agree to disagree. It's going to be very difficult for them to come to agreement, because that means they would have to put themselves as 1A, and neither one of them, rightfully so, I would add, on many fronts, should ever consider themselves 1A. So that's sort of your sticky problem, in my opinion. That's a really good observation, though, Jesse.
Yeah. Well, Andy, you know, Tony Petitti with the Big Ten, Greg Sankey with the Southeast Conference, they're paid to take care of their conference, okay?
And they're alpha dogs.
That's what they're looking to do.
Yep.
The problem is, I think the shape of the argument is wrong.
I agree.
It's 8-9 games, because you could go within an individual conference. You know, everyone across the Southeast Conference plays 8 games. Guess what? Schedules are not even close.
There's not balance.
Not even close to the same, Andy.
There's
not even close. Because you have teams, you know, poor South Carolina has to play Clemson as one of their out-of-conference games. Correct. You know, you have Texas playing Ohio State as one of their out-of-conference games. Yet there's other teams that just play cupcakes. Same thing goes
like Penn State.
The Big Ten. Same thing. Penn State playing three cupcakes. Andy, there are three scrimmages. It's tomato ridiculous. Cans.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
You got Wisconsin, though, playing Alabama. You got Ohio State playing Texas. So there's no equivalency within the conference, let alone beyond the conference. So where Jesse's point is so good is, how about just saying, I don't care how many conference games you play, you got to play X number of games against Power Four conferences. So if you're only choosing eight conference games, you can't play four cupcakes. You can play three, okay? So I think Jesse is on the right track here. Whether it will happen, probably not. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter three. Let's get back to our defensive positional discussion right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four of our show. He's Andy. I'm Jim. Outside of quarter three and talking about getting our questions in the Ask Andy segment, we are talking about the defense, looking at things by position group. And Andy, you know, you were mentioning good questions today on Ask Andy.
Yeah, there were three good ones. We only got to three. We'd like to get to four. We only got to three, but that's because they were three solid, well-thought-out questions.
And Andy, it's because we are very good at it. We're not quite elite yet in answering questions. We've got to make the jump to elite yet. All right. Perhaps that's getting a little old, but let's move on. Let's get to these defensive positional groups. Andy, we're talking about the defensive line initially. And then we got to linebacker, and the common thread seems to be a defensive tackle, defensive end. There is a star.
There's
a star leading off the position before we get to the rest of the group. Now that we get to the DBs, we get to cornerback and safety. It's a similar discussion.
Absolutely.
I'll give you the choice, Andy, where you want to start, cornerback or safety.
I'll take safety.
All right, let's talk safety. Is my theory still good there?
Absolutely.
We going to start with a star, Andy?
We are going to start with a star, and it is a star in a position that he was able to shine as a star in a position where there was already known NFL talent that emerged and went to the NFL, and that's the key, Wheatley, right? He's your free safety. He's your star, right? Third on the team in tackles a year ago with 96. Tied for the team lead with interceptions with three. I think there were like four or five guys that had three picks. Two fumble recoveries, a forced fumble, four pass breakups. Hello, next level impact player who is headed to the NFL. That's your star, right? He's your free safety. He's your star. But it's much more than that at this position, Jimmy. Oh, it's so much more than that. Let's keep going, shall we? I think Zion safety is going to be your slot safety, your 50 back, right? He played in all 16 games a year ago as a second-year player. Couple INTs, 35 tackles. He's got all the necessary salt and pepper. Already showed his merit, and next level talent development. I mean, you think about the crazy talent in that room a year ago, right? And then I go to my next guy, which is DeJuan Lane. He played in all 16 games a year ago. I think he's going to be your starting strong safety this year. His role was limited a year ago, but he performed and developed so well that even with all that talent in the room as a first-year player, they had to put him on the field, right? They had to get him out there. In a limited role, he still had an interception, 15 tackles, and 3 pass breakups. He is ready for the next level. So there's your 3 guys. Then you talk about King Mac, right? Back at Penn State after going to Alabama and coming back. I think he will play a role in the back end for the Nittany Lions, but he's got to find a way to get on the field because I don't see him taking one of the top 3 jobs. Do you, Jimmy? I don't see him being one of the top 3 guys, but I see him playing a role.
Well, Andy, you know, you list Zion Tracy as a safety. Is he a cornerback? And how does the discussion change when you've got 5 guys back there?
I just think he's just your 5th guy. I see him as sort of your jack. He'll play the jack of all trades role. He can cover single if you need him to cover. He can cover over the middle. He can pop down in the box, or you can move Zakee Wheatley down in the box. It doesn't matter. Mix and match it however you want. Jim's got the mix and match parts to do exactly what he wants to do based on the situation in front of him. And it starts with 3 dudes in the back end that can fill a standard role and fill a situational role. He's got the options. He's got 3 of them right out of the chute. 3 experienced ones right out of the chute to mix and match how he wants. And it starts with a star. It starts with Zakee. That's your guy. That guy is a monster.
Andy, it's wonderful to have that anchor. You know, it's like, okay, we know we've got this guy. We could count on him. And you start from there and you work your way out from there. I will always bring this up, Andy, and we've been saying this for years, or at least I have. On defense, there aren't 11 starters. Okay.
Agreed.
There's 18. There's 20.
I think it's 15 this year. It's down a little bit, but I agree. And Manny Diaz had 18, 19, right? I think Tom had 17 last year. I think the number's 15 this year. I don't think that means anything other than the fact that maybe they have 2 less. You're going to find 1 or 2 emerge. But right now, going into the season, the number's 15. It's been higher, but this. Just because it's lower doesn't mean it doesn't lack any super high-end quality.
You're exactly right. And you're right. It was like 2 years ago that it was the epitome of the depth on that team.
Correct.
No individual had really high stats. You combined it with a ball control offense and, you know, a defense where you had so many guys playing. So the stats, the tackles, they got spread out amongst quite a number of players. You're right. This may not quite be like 20 players that I would always say 2 years ago.
Correct.
But it's situational. It's why I, you know, at linebacker, when we were talking there, I gave Amari Campbell probably more credence than you did.
You're correct.
Because even though there's technically 2 starters at linebacker, I think there'll be three guys who are rotating and are playing starter minutes. Now we're going to have the situation with 5 defensive backs. You're right. You kind of mix and match this a bit to what fits the equation, what you're seeing across the line of scrimmage. Is it 3rd and 2 or is it 3rd and 18, Andy?
Correct.
It's going Jim's, to dictate who you're playing out there.
On the back end, Jim can mix and match as he sees fit based on the situation. Because I think he's got, at the back end when they're playing 5, I think he's got 7 that he can safely choose from right now. That's without anybody sort of emerging and showing themselves has developed. I think he's got seven right now to mix and match as he sees with. And we haven't talked about the corners yet, but it will always start with two. It will always start with Harris and Wheatley. That will be your boat anchor.
Yes, no doubt. Let me ask you this while we're still on safeties, though, A&D.
Yes. What
do you see as King Mac's role?
So I don't know yet, right? Like, I want to see the first three games, and I want to see him play in Penn State's defense again, right? I feel very strongly that he has enough talent and sort of lost a little bit of seeing the forest through the trees when the position was as deep 2 years ago as it was when it was 20, right? Like, he was part of the 20 that kind of got lost in the flood a little bit. And I can see that for him, and I understand why he went to Alabama, but he now has more clarity. I don't know what it is, but there needs to be, and I don't think Jim would argue with this. King's good enough to be on the field for 80% of the teams in the country as a starter. So that kind of guy you need to utilize. I don't know what it'll be, but I think you're going to get a taste of it over the first three games. But it will be a role of some sort.
I think it will be a significant role, and I think even the circumstances that here's a guy who played at Penn State, was good enough to attract Alabama's attention, and now coming back, Penn State did not hesitate to bring him back, Andy, and they had a full year of taking a look at him and saying, we want him back. Quick, because we got to get to cornerbacks.
So when it comes to King, I think it'll be, what will King's role be? It might be the linchpin of four or five different situations where he's playing 30 some snaps a game, but he is being fit into four or five different roles inside those 30 something snaps. I think he's that versatile because they have such strong anchors. So if he can be that versatile, and I think he can be, he will be that guy.
All right, Andy, let's move on to cornerback, and it's the same story. You already mentioned it. A.J. Yeah. Harris, he's the stud. He's the anchor.
NFL guy.
NFL guy. Where do we go beyond A.J. Harris?
Yeah, so I think the other corner is going to be what I think on the back end will probably be the most interesting, right? Like, who's going to be the other corner, right? Is it Elliot Washington? Is it, you know, Kenny Wosley? I think it's Washington. And I just think that it isn't a question mark for me per se. It is a who does Jim land on question. That's what I think. I think you have such a strong, you're going to need a second corner, but they have so many options of defensive back to set the back end the way they want. That I don't think the second corner might be as important as you think it is, as it normally would be. Does that make sense, Jimmy?
No, I need a second one. So, Andy.
Sorry.
I see what you're saying. And I think the difference, because you're going to have five guys back there,
right,
it kind of muddies the water a little bit. Like,
fair.
How do you define Zion Tracy? And I think Elliot Washington, not only what he did a year ago, but also we're hearing a lot of talk about him during the offseason, having a very good offseason. And those are the kind of comments that typically come to fruition, Andy. You know, the coaches don't promote a player unless there's some there.
I agree. I still think they need that he needs to play. He will play an important role, but it will not be in the, well, we need to find another corner typical role.
But I'll tell you what, a name that gets missed in all this, I believe, is Adavian Collins.
Yes.
The transfer who, you know, he played significant time.
Seven. He's your seventh guy. He's going to play.
You know, yes, he's definitely going to play. And just because I've got to throw out one of the youngsters' names.
Of course you do.
Darius Dixon played at a big-time program in high school, Andy, and he's been showing some things. All right. Andy, that is it. We got through the entire defense. Thank you, Andy. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.